Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We all know that San Antonio is rich with culture and history, and what better place to experience all of that than our local museums? Great museums serve many functions. They're more than just a collection of artifacts. They are community focal points and gathering spots for learning, discovery, and celebration of our identity as San Antonians. And what is your favorite San Antonio museum? Have you ever noticed how have they been leveling up so much in recent years? God, they've gotten so fantastic. What are your thoughts about that? What do you want to see at your local museum that maybe you're not getting right now? Any ways for you to join our conversation as we talk about San Antonio's museums, you can call in. The number is 210-614-8980. And you can also email your questions and comments to thesource at tpr.org and tweet us at tprsource. We're joined by Carrie Marriott, the Chief Engagement Officer for the San Antonio Museum of Art, and Maurice McDermott. She is the president and CEO of the Witte Museum. Welcome, both of y'all. It's great to have you here.
Thank you.
And so there's always so many fantastic things happening, but you just can't, we have to start by talking about all the amazing things that you've done over at the Witte Museum, Maurice, how it's changed. And it just seemed like, it seemed like a blink of an eye.
Yeah.
But I know it's been years and years in the making. But wow, if you haven't been to the Witte in a while, it's a different place now.
Yeah.
What have you done?
Well, I mean, we say now the Witte Museum is where nature, science, and culture meet through the lens of Texas deep time and with the themes of land, sky, and water. And really what that means is that this is a 92-year-old museum that really needed, you know, a kind of a reinvention. And we did, as you said, I mean, we really started reinventing it in about 2004. And then we opened the South Texas Heritage Center, the Robert J. and Helen C. Clayburgh South Texas Heritage Center in 2012. And the new Witte in March of 2017, and that is... It's been 174,000 square feet of change, and the Mays Center, of course, the Mays Family Center. It has been a great journey. It's a over $100 million transformation, but more important, it has allowed us to accommodate all the school children and all the families who really, you saw the lines outside the Witte for many years. And so our first campaign was called It's About Time, because we needed to accommodate our wonderful families who, and this is, I think, what one of the things that we want to talk about today is there's a great thirst for culture, a great thirst for civic dialogue and learning, lifelong learning through all of our cultural institutions along the corridor and downtown. And the Witte, you know, we wanted to be really a leader in serving that thirst for a cultural experience. And it's been a great, exciting journey to do that. So now we have our dinosaurs permanently and our Texas Wild Gallery, and we have taken back the mantle of Texas. So our collection, which is 350,000 artifacts, is actually a Texas-wide collection because we were the largest museum founded in 1926, and now we're able to do all of that in our galleries.
If you got a question or comment as we talk about San Antonio's museums, what is your favorite local museum memory? Give us a call, 210-614-8980. And the San Antonio Museum of Art, SAMA, it sort of split off from the Witte many, many years ago, and it found a home at the old Lone Star Brewery, and Carrie, it's also having a rebirth is with all of the activity, and right in your neighborhood, and it seems like there's always something happening.
And at the museum, in fact, we have more than 500 programs a year, which is three or four times what we had maybe 5 or 6 years ago. And we're trying to open our doors to a wide range of people. We have all kinds of programming from art in any language, which speaks to the immigrant community. We're doing multi-sensory tours for the visually impaired. We have yoga with art. We recently did an incredible event that was super successful called Clueseum, where we were a live game of Clue, and we had student actors dress up like works of art, and they were the suspects, and we had more than 500 people show up. They were standing in line. But our mission is to open our doors to a wider audience, because we know what art can do for us as a community. Personally, it inspires us. It's sort of an antidote to the echo chamber that we're all living in. It's a place to go to turn off your screens, and that's what we're there for.
The story of the founding of the Witte Museum, I just love it. you know, the local teacher who just wanted to have a museum, and she made it happen out of sheer force of will and determination and vision. Can you tell us that story?
Oh, yeah. It does speak to San Antonio in the 20s. I mean, it was the largest city in Texas in the 1920s. And so it made sense that this was a place. And Mrs. Ellen, well, actually, she was Ellen Schultz. And she was a botany teacher at Maine High School. And she decided, yes, this city needed a museum. And she started selling bluebonnet seeds with her students, and that wasn't going very far. But the great story that's in her book is that there was Mayor John Tobin and Alfred Whitty were part of a group of fellows who played cards. And they were saying, this teacher, I mean, she's really, you know, she's making waves. We have to do something about this. Alfred Whitty died shortly thereafter, left $75,000 in his will for a new museum, only if the mayor would come up with the rest of another match. So it was $150,000 in 1926. And then they drove up and found the third entrance of Brackenridge Park, the bend on the bend of the river, the first bend of the river, which is our great blessing as a natural history museum. But Mayor Tobin said, Ellen, you can stay as director, but only if you don't get married until the Whitty is open. And then the Whitty was open, and she was married shortly thereafter, so she was Ellen Schultz Quillen. So it's just such a 1920 story.
And it then really she was. Continued to manage and run the museum,
yes,
being paid $1.
Well, she was paid $1 initially, but she did get some more money, but not through the Depression. There is a whole series of stories. And by the way, her book on this is just fabulous. It starts The Dark and Stormy Night. It's that kind of book. There were always lots of drama at the Whitty for many years. She opened the reptile garden during the Depression to keep people, to keep the museum doors open. It's so similar to what we're doing today. Today we are animating museums. You hear Carrie how they're animating the art museum. And that is, she was way ahead of her time in that way. In fact, in the museum history of 100 years of museums, Mrs. Quillen is quoted as being the first, I mean rather acknowledged to be the first kind of educational interactive museum in the country.
I'm going to go to a caller. We have Miguel. He's got a question along those lines. Yeah. And Miguel, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you, Mr. Davies. And I just wanted to give a shout-out to the speaker. The Whitty was a big part of my childhood, and I'm very, very glad. I saw it before it completely reopened. I'm very excited about the fact that there's an auditorium now for all the school kids, and it's just fantastic what they've done with the rework. But I'm glad you spoke to the reptile pit, or the reptile garden, rather. I was told a story when I was very young about on the opening night, and in fact, I might have heard it at the Whitty. Opening night of the Whitty, snakes fell from the trees or something, and that's what inspired to open the reptile pit.
That's a great. Actually, that's a very interesting version of that story. What happened is Mrs. Quillen, who cleverly needed to keep the museum open during the Depression, she opened the reptile garden. She had a herpetologist there, and they did snake venom studies and all of that. But on the opening night, I'm going to say this wrong. Chicken snakes, is that right? That might be a euphemism. But anyway, these chicken snakes, they did like to climb out and climb trees. So in the reptile garden, these snakes did not stay in the garden. They, in fact, just started climbing the trees, and one went under her skirt. And she held that snake under her skirt until she finished her talk. And then afterwards, she got the snake, pulled it out, and put it back into the pit. So that's the real story behind that. But behind your comment, thank you for your comment.
Yeah, the Alligator Gardens was a fantastic part, but that property is now being used for y'all have expanded into where that was.
Correct. Although we are going to be building, this is our third phase, a reptile garden cafe as an homage to, and we'll be serving fried rattlesnake and also alligator stew. So stay tuned for that.
All right. So at San Antonio Museum of Art, so y'all are just two of the museums that we have. It's that, you know, the McNay, Barney Smith's Toilet Seat Museum. We got museums all over the place. They're fantastic. But it's, I just love how we have this area, this zone, where everything is very accessible. We have the, and as you have, we have the remaining month of Museum Month here in San Antonio. Plenty of activities and ways for people to get to know all of our museums. And you want to talk about that, Carrie?
Sure. It's a complete collaboration with 12 institutions, museums, some smaller institutions, the missions, to highlight the museums in San Antonio, to show off the visual arts landscape in our city. It really is incredible. And if you do look at a map, it shows you that not only did the city grow up around the river, but the cultural institutions have grown up around the river. And you can walk from one to the other. You can bike. VIA has partnered with us, and they're offering free fares, yes, on Saturday. So you can park at one museum and go to all of them. If you're a member, you can get into all of them for free. A number of us are offering discounts on memberships this month, too. In addition to, there's a scavenger hunt. If you go to the museummonthsa.org website, you'll find information about events, special exhibitions, the scavenger hunt, special events. It's a great time to visit museums. The weather has changed finally. It's a beautiful time of year to get out and be a tourist in your own town.
It's not as punishing to stand in line and do things. Yes.
Well, I wanted to mention something you said about how it's changed this astonishing renaissance of cultural activity. And so we did a study a year or so ago about how much private-public investment's been made on the Broadway Cultural Corridor, and it's $500 million just from the McNay to the San Antonio Museum of Art, including the museum, the botanical gardens, the zoo, the Witte, and that's capital N, also endowment. This is how extraordinary the times are for cultural institutions, and that doesn't even count the Southwest School of Art, of course, the Briscoe Museum, so many fabulous places, the Art Pace, that it really is truly a renaissance in the cultural experience in San Antonio.
It's so tied to what San Antonio is becoming.
Yeah, and we'll talk more about that when we come back from this break. Our phone number is 210-614-8980. If you've got a favorite museum here in San Antonio, give them a shout-out, 210-614-8980. Do you have a museum memory you want us to hear? Call in 210-614-8980. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We're going to be right back after this quick break.
We really are just so excited to be part of Museum Month. This is our second year and have found it to be a wonderful opportunity for local families to come to the museum and explore all that we have to offer, even though we are a children's museum and also a learning center, if you will. There truly is something for everyone. We have, of course, our 6 permanent galleries that cater to kids from birth to age 10. But truly, we invite adults, caregivers of any type, to come and explore the museum. There really is something that we're sure that they will find entertaining. You won't regret it.
And that was Sandra Garcia. She's the Vice President of Marketing for the Museum, which is on Broadway, part of the museum reach that we have here in San Antonio. And they are part of Museum Month, where you still have some days left in October and lots of activities for Museum Month. We've got a question or comment as we talk about San Antonio's museums. Call in. The number is 210-614-8980, like Chip. And Chip's on the line. Hey, Chip, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. My question is, was there ever a solution to the theft of the McFarland diamond?
Okay, so there was a diamond theft at the Witte?
Yes.
Thanks for the call, Chip.
Sure. I think, was it 69? All of a sudden I'm blanking out on the date, but it was before my time. I just want to say that. But yes, there was a diamond that was stolen from the Witte Museum. The speculation is that it was a, quote, inside job, unquote. In fact, somebody did go to prison for it. I've had several encounters with this is a kind of a yellow canary diamond from India over the years where the federal marshal or other people have come and said, we think this diamond on auction is the McFarland diamond. So the speculation is it went from an emerald cut to a cushion cut. That's about as much as I know about jewelry. So if I said it wrong, forgive me. But that really, it is a mystery what happened to the diamond, other than it was absolutely no question about it stolen.
Was it one of these things where you come to work in the morning and the diamond's gone, or did they come in with guns a-blazing? How did that?
They did not come in with guns a-blazing. Somebody came in, they put a chair in the elevator to stop the elevator. They went in, they got the diamond. Somehow or another, the guards were not available, which, guess what, that was one of the people who went to prison, and then left. So it was such a terrible situation, obviously. The Whitty Museum was paid a lot more attention to security from that moment on. We are a totally different organization now. We are an accredited museum since 1974. It's just a whole different world in museums these days.
I think museums are community gathering places like they've never been before. You used to think of museums as objects
on the wall or on the shelf, but
it's really about stories. It's about humanity. It's about our shared experience. It's a great place to come and socialize with your family, to have a conversation. That's changing. Museums in the 21st century are very different than they were even 10 years ago.
And I know that both y'all's museums, the Whitty and SAMA, have both played a role in San Antonio's tricentennial celebration. At the Whitty, y'all had a special exhibit.
It is still on. It's called Confluence of Culture, 300 Years of San Antonio History. In fact, we debuted a play that's still ongoing called Ode to Juneteenth, which is just an astonishing play, Emancipation Jones, or the day after emancipation in Texas, until hip-hop. That's a one. I urge everybody to go see it, written by an award-winning playwright, Eugene Lee. But the exhibit itself is highly interactive and has all kinds of gallery theater, but lots of important augmented reality of the Battle of the Alamo. So that will be going until January 6th. We also have a jazz Ode to San Antonio. It's actually not Ode to San Antonio. It's the San Antonio Jazz Suite that was written by Aaron Prado, and Mayor Ron Nuremberg will be the narrator on November 11th. So we're still in the tricentennial world and very proud of having that sweeping exhibition. We'll take parts of that exhibition and incorporate it in our Robert J. and Helen C. Clayburgh South Texas Heritage Center. But I know Katie, had the King and Queen.
The royalty, and also we saw a lot of the Spanish art.
That was gorgeous.
So talk about that.
We had a fabulous summer. We had over 32,000 people come and see 500 years of Spanish painting, which told the story of how Spain and its artistic influence has influenced San Antonio, and how you see those motifs all over the city. So the local population really responded to it. We had wonderful programming. We had flamenco dancing. We had fantastic art history lectures that were oversold. It was just an amazing summer for us. For the city.
Really beautiful.
Let me go to another caller, 210-614-8980, as we talk about San Antonio's fantastic museums. And Ralph is here. Ralph, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. Just a real quick comment. I wanted to say that I used to be a member of SAMA, not so much since we moved back this year.
Come back.
Some of the places in, like, Boston, they offer free all year round. The Boston Museum of Art, the Stuart Gardner Museum, and other places throughout the Boston area, they always offer it free for military people. I noticed that, you know, that you do participate in the Blue Star, but the Whitty didn't this year. And but the comment I was going to make is that 18 years ago, when I was a second lieutenant, going through the officer basic course in Fort Sam Houston, Monsignor Balti took me to every single mission except the Alamo. And if you go to Mission Concepcion, you'll see this picture of Monsignor Balti there dedicated to him. He had helped manage everything and bring it over and make sure that we still had masses there, Catholic masses there. So I just wanted to say that comment and say that I wish that, you know, you guys would do something more associated with the military and do more free things for the military.
All right, Ralph, thank you for the call. And on the 28th, October 28th, is going to be the anniversary of the Battle of Concepcion, which is one of the run-ups to the Battle of the Alamo. I mean, there's battles all over the place here in San Antonio, and our museums tell that story. And so, Maurice?
We do have a military discount for our military families. But
so
in addition to that, yes, and you do as well, of course. But in addition to that, the Portraits of Courage exhibition, which are portraits that President Bush did of our wounded warriors, was such just an unbelievably exciting time for our military families. And USA, by the way, underwrote military families to come to see that exhibition. And we had a lot of our triumphant warriors with us the whole summer. So we celebrate the military at the Whitty robustly, but absolutely open to further exploration of working with our military families.
And Carrie?
And we are open all summer long. We participate in the Blue Star program, so we are free to the military and five members of their family from Memorial Day to Labor Day, and we do offer discounted admission.
Okay, here's another caller, Pauline. Pauline, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to put a comment with the McNay Art Museum. I like looking inside of the home of Miss McNay, who had a lot of little mosaics put around the house, especially in this little nook that most people don't really look at because it's not so important, but there's a lot of little personal mosaics inside of it, and that, for me, I always like looking at it and always finding something new and interesting within her home, how it was.
All right, Pauline, thank you for that call. And I'm going to go quickly to Dave. And Dave, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Well, thank you, Dave. Good to talk to you. Let me give a little shout-out to the South Texas Museum of Popular Culture. That's over at 1017 Mulberry. It's a great little museum. No, they're not all great. I love our other museums, too. But that little museum really has a special place in my heart. I think a lot of folks would enjoy it.
Right. That's a place where they celebrate San Antonio's... It's a people-run museum. It's not everything is going to be all massive and multi-million dollars. This is something that really shows how people want museums, and they want them to reflect their own personal lives.
So true. I mean, that's a great thing about having some, I call it market differentiation. There's so many different kinds of museums. That's a great point. And again, it goes to the fact that people these would not exist if people did not want them. So, and particularly our school teachers, as Carrie mentioned earlier, you know, we have 100% of school districts that come to all these little museums and big museums, and it is because teachers, in particular our dear friends, are looking for ways to ignite the imagination of these children and also offering the possibility for extraordinary lives. And museums are about the extraordinary.
Right. We got a comment about Blue Star from our email. Blue Star Contemporary is so excited to be one of the participating organizations. We've received quite a number of visitors taking advantage of the month-long celebration. Blue Star Contemporary Art is the first and longest-running nonprofit venue for contemporary art in San Antonio. So there's a lot of points of entry for people to get into Museum Month in San Antonio. And so Carrie, what advice do you have for someone who wants to discover our museum world?
I think, first of all, go take advantage of October. Go to museummonthsa.org and take a look at all the incredible institutions that we have there. I'm just going to call them out because this was a collaboration. We did this together. Art Pace, Blue Star Contemporary, Briscoe Western Art Museum, Duseum, the McNay Art Museum, the San Antonio Art League and Museum, San Antonio Missions National Historic Park, San Antonio Museum of Art, Southwest School of Art, UTSA Institute of Texan Cultures, Villa Finale Museum and Gardens, and the Witte Museum. They are so broad and diverse. There's so much to see. There's something for everyone in all of those institutions. I truly believe that. You just have to get off the couch, believe it or not. That's one of our biggest competitors these days. And go outside and enjoy your city and be inspired.
And Maurice, how would you give someone some advice? How to get started?
Well, I think you said it best, that there's so many entry points. Each of these museums are so different. So I take my grandson, you know, to the Duseum. Everybody goes in a different place and enters the world of cultural experience in different ways. But the museums right now in San Antonio, as Museum Month is a testimony for, is they're all really, they're just top-notch. They're, you know, we call it top-tier museums now. We're very proud of being in San Antonio with this cultural renaissance.
I really like Via Finale. It's
spectacular.
I think so undiscovered in San Antonio. It's in King William.
Walter Mathis is
a beautiful walk through the home,
collection.
See all of the artifacts. If you're a Napoleon nut, that's the place to go. Lots of he says he was a Napoleon nut.
Yes.
So museum.
Very beautifully done.
And so tasteful. This is, you know, Museum Month continues to the end of October, and museums will be here as long as we're here. I want to thank both of our guests.
Longer.
Yeah.
And this is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for tuning us in.